You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's show, we have a great show for you planned. We're exploring on how to put an end to common daily misunderstandings in your life by finding peace and happiness, by truly understanding your core, yourself better, and by making healthy and rational choices when it comes to the people you spend the most time with. You know, a few nights ago, I was having dinner at a nearby restaurant, and I was sitting outside eating with Greg. And there's a table to the right of us, to the left of us, you know, ahead of you, behind you kind of thing. And this little girl, I don't know, she couldn't have been more than 5 and a half, maybe 6 years old, you know, came walking between the tables. And she asked the man at the table ahead of me, she asked him for some money, if she could get some money or if he could donate some money or what have you. And, you know, he got very angry, this guy, not really toward her, but kind of in general. And when she came by me, I realized I didn't have any cash. And I said, sorry, I don't have any. You know, besides the fact that, you know, there's another issue that was kind of lining up here. It wasn't about the little girl asking for money. It's about the situation that her parents really put her up to this. I mean, her parents are somewhere around the area allowing their little 5-year-old, 6-year-old kid to go beg for money from perfect strangers. I mean, anything could happen to this child. And so when she left, the gentleman at the table like next to me was like, I can't believe this. He was so angry. And he looks off to the guy at the table to the right of him and he says, I can't believe this. I can't believe adults would send their little girl by herself to go beg for money from people that they don't even know. It's a shame that they should be ashamed of themselves. And so while he's saying this to the guy at the table next to him, the guy has no idea what he's talking about. He literally looks at him, he gets half of what he's saying, and the guy kind of laughs back, ha ha ha. And at that point, you know, the gentleman like almost knocks over his own glass of wine, and, you know, because he hits the table, he's so angry about what happened with his child. And the thing was, is that if he would have turned around to me and asked me what I thought, he, you know, I would have been preaching. He would preach to the choir. I'd be like, you know, preach on there, minister, preach on, because I could not believe that adults would let their young daughter go beg for money. But the whole problem was that he went to somebody else in the situation, assuming that that person knew exactly what was going on, had seen everything as though he had seen it. But in fact, this guy had not seen it, didn't even know that this girl probably walked by. And if they saw the girl, had no idea that she was begging for money because they weren't even listening to what she said. And on top of that, they just see this man get angry and, you know, like kind of like, you know, hand punch the table and his wine almost falls over. They just think that he's a crazy, messy drunk. I mean, they totally missed the point that he was very angry that this kid is being, you know, hawked out there to beg for money. And I think that's crazy. I mean, I think we've all been in that situation, though, where we see something and we go to confide in another human being and they've totally missed the boat. They have no idea what we're talking about. You know, and I think that when that happens, the moral of the story here is that people are usually in their own world. And Bill, you and I both know that sometimes when you're in a situation and you see something go down, you can say something to somebody else and they'll literally look at you like you're crazy.
I have had that happen more times than I care to admit.
And it's frustrating because you're like, didn't you just see what I saw? I mean, give me a break. I mean, this kid is begging for money. She's barely 6 years old. And I hear it, and she asked me for money, and I felt bad. Like, half of me felt bad because I didn't have any money to give her. The other half of me was angry that the parents would actually put their child up to doing that. And, I mean, think about what could happen to this little kid that's by herself, that's just walking through, like, these crowds of people asking and begging for money.
I was going to say, I mean, in this day and age, you can't be sure who she's going to walk up to, you know, especially if you lose sight of her in a crowded place.
And it's insane too. I'm not going to sit there and make you know, total moral judgment on this call, but I mean, come on. I mean, the whole scene's wrong.
Right.
you need to go out there and do something about your life. I mean, you know, if you can go get a job, go get a job, go get some help. But, you know, pimping out your 5-6-year-old daughter to go get money is just wrong.
And that's exactly what it is. I think you used the right word. You're pimping, you know, your little girl out. But what particularly shocks me is that somebody else seeing the same scene doesn't feel the same way you do. It's like, you know, do you need glasses? You know, what were you watching?
And when you ask that person too, or when you bring it up to that other person and they totally like laugh you off or whatever it is, it's like you start to question humanity. Right. You know, you're like, what the heck is wrong with this world? I mean, this world's even worse than I thought it was. This is even like more, this is evil. You know, and I've been there before where you bring it up, the situation, this deep observation, and the person that you bring it up to laughs it off. Or they really aren't really laughing at you, but they just don't have a freaking clue what you're talking about because they weren't even paying attention. And I think life is filled with these miscommunications. And throughout the miscommunications, we have those glimpses of gold and beauty, you know, that make us feel alive and not alone. But these are like smattered, you know, throughout the days, the weeks, and the years, because the years, they seem to become more mundane because more and more people unnotice things. They don't care. They really maybe don't have the same values as you do. And so there you are, and you're like trying to find some sort of human connection, and all you find is more division.
Yeah, it's like people are just so withdrawn into themselves.
Yeah, or they just don't even pay attention at all. Or you're right. Like sometimes you can be like, let's say you're at a ball game, and let's say you're at a baseball game, and the batter hits a home run, and it's like the farthest home run that they've hit all year, something like that. Let's just come up with something hypothetical. And you're like, wow, that was awesome. That was great. And you know, you look at the buddy next to you, and they're like, what? And they were so busy trying to get a beer from the beer guy that he has no idea what just happened.
Or they're too busy looking at their iPad or their smartphone.
Exactly. Exactly. Or they're like, well, what do you mean? I didn't even see it. I'm going to have to watch the replay. Or, oh, come on, that wasn't the farthest. That wasn't the farthest hit.
I've actually gone to ball games, and, okay, the person is sitting there in the stands, but they've got their earbuds in. They're listening to the game, I guess, on their smartphone, looking at the stats as it's going, and something happens, and, hey, you know, what just happened?
They totally miss it.
Yeah.
I had people, I was out of town a few days ago, and I had people literally on their iPhones as they're walking through traffic, paying no attention, jaywalking on top of that, and literally not even paying attention. They're on the phone or they're texting while they're walking through traffic. And it's like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, I literally had to like stop, put on my brakes twice to not hit somebody. I mean, like, hit them, you know? I mean, because you're going 40 miles an hour. I hate to say it. We're not like humans in a video game where you just like kind of dust yourself off and get back up and go, well, I screwed that one up today. You know, I better watch out again for traffic. You don't have like a second chance to say, should have done that differently.
And it's not a video game where, okay, if you die, you get another life.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people think. They think, oh, I'm out. Okay, I get another life. This is great. You know, let's do it again. You know, I get three more lives. Or like, you know, like, what do they say? Cats have 9 lives? I don't know. But no, you don't have 9 lives. You spend them all at one time, you know? And I think a lot of times the people that we deal with in the world, they don't really care about other people as well. And I think a lot of us feel that way. You know, when people show us by cutting us off in traffic, right, by walking right in front of our cars as we're trying to back up, you know, what about hitting your car with the grocery cart and not saying a word, not even moving the cart?
Or opening their door and dinging yours.
Right in front of you, right when you're in the car.
Last week, that actually happened to me. I'm sitting there in my truck about to get out, and the person next to me opens her door and hits my passenger side. Doesn't even look at my direction, doesn't say anything, and I'm like, hello?
I'm right here. I'm not only right here, I'm sitting in the car still.
Yeah.
Like, I heard that because I'm in the car. Like, I can see you. You just hit my car. And they're like, it's unbelievable. And have you ever walked up to one of those people, which I have, and said, hello? Hey, yeah, that was my car that you just hit. What's going on? How are you doing? And they literally look like you're crazy.
Now, last week I didn't do that because my temper, you know, was almost, you know, boiling over. I was like, okay, I'm not going to say anything because...
because I'd like to get out of here in one piece.
Exactly.
I want to get out of here without going to the pokey today.
Exactly.
I want to get out of here before getting arrested. You know, what about the times when you're trying to walk? Like, you decide to be the pedestrian that day, and it's rain, and somebody literally is flying by at 50 miles an hour in that right lane, and you see standing water. It's not a joke. everybody can see the standing water. It's obvious. I mean, if you can't see it, anybody can see it. You can see it from above. You can see it from below. You can see it standing there. You can see it in your car. And they hit it so hard that if you were in one space, you'd be completely soaked.
Yep.
And they don't care. They have no care in the world. And I think those are signs that people aren't, one, paying attention. And sometimes they just don't care. You know, and I think miscommunication happens on a second-to-second basis and happens due to a person's individual perception of life and what life is all about, you know? I think one of the funniest observations is when you see someone really get angry by something or they get angry by what another person does. And so think about it. So a person gets really angry by what somebody else does. And the person who gets angry about the situation later on in a few minutes or a few hours does the exact same thing, in the immediate future, and then they get another person angry. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, as you realize, this just keeps going on. And we usually make a judgment call on another person when they do the exact same thing that we've done in the past. You know, and in order to understand what I just said, I know that it's kind of crazy talk here, but what I just said, you have to be highly observant. You have to understand the circular movement of action. You have to understand the circular movement of karma, right? Karma is interesting too. And you must have a sense of humor to allow yourself to laugh at your own stupidity, because we as humans make stupid choices all the time.
Sure.
And if you don't laugh at your own, like, you know, stupidity, you know, you don't really have a lot going on there. So, you know, by the way, we aren't going to actually eliminate misunderstandings or global misunderstandings tonight. We're not trying to do that, because that would be absolutely impossible. But we are going to try to remove them from happening in your life by you essentially realizing habits and choices. And that adds to misunderstandings, because a lot of times the habits and the choices that we pick create more misunderstandings. And that's what happens. So when Perspectives returns, we're exploring the ways you can minimize the miscommunications in your life and start living successfully with honest direction. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Hey, Rick, it's your cousin Marvin. Marvin Ashley, you know that mediocre generic sound you've been looking for? Well, listen to this.
Welcome back here live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And if you're just tuning in tonight, we've been exploring how to put an end to common daily misunderstandings. You know, we've all have these common daily misunderstandings that we live with in our life, and we need to kind of get past those, because I think they can run us down. We're also talking about how to find peace and happiness in your life by truly understanding your core self, how to understand who you are. And the cool thing about that is you can make healthy and rational choices when it comes to the people you choose to spend your time, which obviously helps you to actually lower your misunderstanding quotient for the day. So first off, you know, one of the best ways I think you can understand yourself better, one of the best ways I think you can eliminate a lot of misunderstandings, is to determine, first off, are you an observer? Are you an actual observer? And let me give a little backstory here. I'm a serious observer. I mean, you know, usually I'm surrounded by non-observant people, you know, who either think they observe, they think they're their observers, or they really don't care. And if you're hyper-observant like I am, and you like to discuss what you observe, you'll want to spend time with other highly observant people. That's just how it works, you know. And if you don't care about discussing your observations, you know, and you're really observant anyway, then it doesn't really matter who you hang out with. But if you like to talk about life and you like to ponder deep thoughts by Jack Handy. You know me. You know, you'll want to spend time with like-minded people who observe life and like to delve deeper. So think about it. Okay, first off, Billy, are you an observer? I'm a really mega keen hyper observer, and when I observe things, I like to talk about it. Sometimes I don't like to just live in my own little world. I like to actually talk to other people and share my thoughts. And when you're trying to share with other people, like that guy that I was talking about in the first segment, we were talking about how, you know, the little girl was going to beg for the money, And, you know, he got really angry, not at the little girl, but he got angry that the parents would put her in a situation like that. And he goes and talks to the table next to him about it. And they first of all, they hardly even understand what he's saying. And second of all, they just kind of think he's kind of crazy. But they didn't even see the little girl begging. They have no idea what he's talking about. Right. And it's sad that he couldn't even tell his own people at the table. Obviously, he didn't think that they observed enough to even say anything to them, so that they were out already. He was going to talk to another table about it.
Well, yeah, and as far as being an observant person, I have to consciously observe things because I have ADHD. And so it's real easy for me to start daydreaming. And so I have to kind of remind myself, okay, I'm going to observe what's going on around here. Now, if I happen to catch a situation like you were talking about, then I feel the same way you do. It's like, are you kidding me?
Exactly. Like, where are you at, you know?
But here's the thing. If I were with you, I probably would not have seen that. Because
really?
I would have been, like, in, you know, Dungeons and Dragons land or something.
Looking out the window. Hi.
Not even that.
See, as you look, you have your hands underneath your,
well,
you know.
You know me. I mean, sometimes I get this blank look on my face.
Yeah.
I'm like 100 miles away.
He's a million miles from nowhere, actually. Yeah. Dwight Yoakam, one of my favorite songs. Wasn't that him? A Million Miles from Nowhere? Time don't matter to me. Yeah, I think that was him.
Was it him? Okay.
I sound really good in the shower when I sing that song. Hey, Big Skinny, glad you joined us. He's always running a little late here on the Perspectives clock.
He just rolls in whenever
Whenever he feels like it's comfortable for him. But that's fine. That's fine. Are you an observer? Do you consider yourself an observer of observers?
I am definitely an observer. I observe a lot of things all day. I'm always checking my surroundings. You know, always, what they say is, I always check my six. You know, you never know what's coming up behind. I do apologize for being late, but I had a late meeting today that ran a little long. And
that was a late, late night.
It was
night
very,
meeting.
Very informational, I must say.
Well, God bless for the information. If it wasn't for the knowledge, I don't know. If it wasn't for the Pirin tablets, I don't know where I'd be. Okay, so let's talk about what makes an observer, okay? So first off, I mean, I think that you're an observer when, one, you see things others never see. And I think that we can agree with that, right? If you see something that nobody ever sees, I mean, that kind of constitutes you as an observer. What do you think?
Well, I think so, because as you're somehow tuned in to what's going on around you. And like you were saying in the first segment, most people are so inward looking these days. You know, they live on their own little worlds. They're always paying attention, you know, to their smartphones, to their
tablets, Dungeons and Dragons in their brain.
Dungeons and Dragons in their brain, you know, like me.
I'm interested in that.
I mean, it's seriously, something will be going on. I just all of a sudden zone out and I don't even realize it.
Well, that's the ADD world, too. You're on the ADD hour clock right there. And,
right.
I think that's important to think about. I mean, I think, though, to a degree, yes, ADD plays a part of it. I think also our whole world is about this, like, five-second snippet. I mean, heck, look at the news. Look at CNN. They don't give you anything like a full story. They give you 5 seconds, and they reel you back in on the next 5 seconds. And we're looking at the same picture, by the way, that same one picture we got from the Associated Press that's got this guy's back of his head. And that's the best we can do.
Well, going back to the observant, this weekend I was hanging out downtown and I had mentioned, are there any gargoyles downtown on the high rises? Well, we look up, we notice there is a gargoyle on top of this building. Come to find out the next day, it was just a satellite dish.
That's observant for you. We won't get into all that.
Well, now I'll give you a pass on that one, Skinny, because it's probably dark.
It was dark. The moon, you know, caught it just right and then it kept appearing and then disappearing, so it kind of freaked us out a little, but
there are gargoyles though downtown on some buildings. I've seen them. I do think they exist. I've seen them,
like real gargoyles.
Well, not live,
you know, like ones that fly around and suck people's blood and stuff like that.
They're blood suckers, really? I thought that was gremlins. Is that gremlins?
Okay, whatever. I don't know anything about gargoyles.
And they actually look over you, so they're kind of, you know, making sure you're safe,
like the Gryffindor.
Which, by the way, for those listening,
like the Griffon,
Ashley, on iHeartRadio, who might not live in Dallas. You know, like those who might live in the East Coast, I mean, they're probably a little bit more familiar with you know, gargoyles and stuff on buildings.
Especially the alive ones. I think Bill's seen some alive ones when he was in New York recently, right?
They were walking in Midtown.
But they turned into satellites, right?
No, they were walking Midtown in broad daylight. You know,
well, they're allowed to, though. They have passes. They're allowed to. They have more rights than we do, you know? I mean, I think so. So I think the other thing about being observers, you pride yourself on being on the top of things, you know, knowing your surroundings. And I think when I was a kid, that was one of the things that my dad used to always impress on me, is that, you know, one, you're a lady, you're a little girl, whatever. You should always know your surroundings. And I think that's for everybody. I don't think that's for a female thing. I think that's for everybody. You want to know where you are and who's around you at all times, because it's important, because you can find yourself in a bad situation.
Oh, absolutely. And especially if you live in a big city, it's not a good idea to not know where you are and, you know, the people around you. I mean, because, you know, the vast majority of people are good people, I think, Skinny. I mean, or at least they...
We can go with 70%.
I mean, yeah. I mean, okay. I'll go with that. I mean,
I saw Deliverance, though. It can happen in a small town.
I was going to say
happen. No, I agree with you. Most people are actually good people, but there is a couple of chances of not necessarily being that way.
Yeah.
Or you can miss something totally cool too. I mean, you can totally be in your own world and totally miss something. Like Bono shows up and does like a freaking concert right there, and you're like, man, and you totally miss it. Someone's over there like, can you believe Bono's here? And you're like, man, I don't get it. What are you talking about? I'm trying to tweet something. I'm tweeting this is my favorite color now or something. Or
I was in line at the bar.
Yeah.
You're posting a selfie on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And you're like, what's up with these selfies anyway? I don't get it. It's like
haven't you gone out to a bar recently? And like, it seems like almost half the bar sometimes, you know, they got their phones up in the air.
That's ridiculous. Yeah.
I would say it happens. I mean, I can't say I've never done it, but it's just, you know, something you do in the moment. It's not a daily thing.
Right.
You just sent me some the other day, too. You sent me some earlier today, I think, but we won't even go there. You sent me some selfies. Okay, I think the third thing is your observant behavior has saved your life and the lives of others once or more times. And I can actually step up to the plate and say that, yes, my observant behavior has saved the lives of other people. My observant behavior has saved my life before as well. And I think that makes you a mega observant person, because had you not been observing, you might not be here, or your friends might not be here.
I actually have a story about that. Back in East Texas, I was headed to school, had my music up loud, a train track, you know, no signals or anything. A squirrel ran out in front of me. I slammed on the brakes. 2 seconds later,
really?
If I hadn't stopped for that squirrel, I would not be here today.
Wow.
I love squirrels.
So that's a little bit of observing.
I swear for birds. I was going to put that on a sticker on my car when I was a little kid. I came up with that whole concept. I swear for birds. Anyway, I never did the bumper sticker because I didn't have a job when I was that young, and my parents thought it was crazy. However, I think I'm going to do that now. I swear for birds. That's our new new slogan here, from A to B. From A to B.
You know,
little A, big studio. Here we are. So when we come back, we are talking more about being an observer, and we're going to talk more and explain kind of the authentic ways that you can minimize the miscommunications in your life and start living successful with an honest direction. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in 2 shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 570 KLIF.
It's still warm.
Oh, good.
Oh. Here,
I'll help you. Here, I'll help you. Canine cologne.
Oh, no more Yankee, my Wanky. The donga need food.
Hell, he's 3 sheets to the wind. He's drunk as a skunk.
Oh, why don't you shut up, Fred? Shut up, dude. Dong. Dong.
Dong, Grandpa is talking to you.
Dong, where is my automobile?
Automobile?
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're exploring how to put an end to common daily misunderstandings in your life by finding your peace and happiness and truly understanding your core self. You can do this by making healthy and rational choices when it comes to the people you spend the most time with. Earlier, we were talking about being an observer and how to know if you're actually a clear observer. Because a lot of times when you are a hyper-observant person, you need to be spending time with other hyper-observant people as well. Because if you want to discuss what you see with them, they have to have seen it, right? I mean, you can't just sit there and hang out with people and go, did you just see this? Can you believe this? And the person's like, huh? Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about. I didn't see anything. And so a lot of times when you want to try to live a life and express yourself, you want to find other people that actually see what you see, or at least be somewhere in the quadrant in their mind. So let's go a little deeper. And I think, just like anything, the deeper you go, the deeper you need others to go. So if it's just kind of plain simple. If you feel sincerely deep about certain things, you know, when you want to share with others and they are not deep, right, you are going to suffer for it. Think about it. You'll feel isolated, and eventually you're going to begrudge the people that you're spending time with. Because you know what? You can't speak your mind. And when you try to go deep and you try to do stuff like that, guess what? It's kind of like a dead end. It's like unrequited again. I have nothing. Here we go. Game over. Thanks a lot. I mean, you know, because it's like when you try to go deep and you have feelings and you're a deep thinking person, if there's nobody else to go deep with you, then you're just going to end up like kind of going to find someone else, or you're just going to be upset. I mean, that's the way it is. I mean, I've had it where you try to have good, deep conversations with people, and I've had it where people get angry with you. Like, why are we going here? Why are we going so deep? I don't know why we can't talk about this. I don't understand. And you're just like, after a while, you're like, you know what? That's great. I just won't talk anymore. You know, I'll have another drink.
I'm sorry, Ashley. Were you saying something?
Mm-hmm. That's about right.
Okay.
Bill was zoning.
Ashley's fangs come out right now.
Fangs and claws.
Yeah, as you see the fangs coming out, you know. No, I feel that way. Sometimes you just like look and you look at the person, you're going, and then you try it again like a week later, and that same person's like, yeah.
I think technology, Skinny, is partly to blame for it. I've actually been in places where two people are sitting like as close as you and I are, right across from the table, and they're texting each other. Forget about having an actual conversation.
Yeah. I'd just be texting someone else at that point.
Well, I mean, they could text each other. They can, you know, put smiley faces back and forth rather than any facial expression. I mean,
especially if they're in love. If they're in love and it's like the first month.
Well, that's what it was. I mean, it was like a, you know, a young man, young woman, and they weren't even looking at each other. They were just texting.
Because they're like using emoticons instead of their own emotions, you know, because it's easier. It's almost like when you look at Facebook and you have somebody like put up a selfie. And you see it, and people go, oh, instead of saying, you are beautiful, or in a man's situation, you are handsome, they're like, oh, nice photo.
Nice, you know, pic.
So it's not very deep at all. It's just expressing that they see the photo. Instead of saying, you're beautiful, or you're handsome, or wow, you got it all together, it's, oh, that photo's great. You know, and it's the same thing. Instead of me saying, I love you, it's easier for me to put like a little love face with a little, what is it, a smiley face with the hearts of the eyes, you know, and it's like blowing a kiss. That's a heart. It's easier to do that than to say, I love you, because that's actually putting yourself on the line. That might be why they're doing it. I mean, I don't know. Mean,
or I'll even use an old school example. We speak in postcards now, you know, instead of writing letters like back in the day. You know, and for those of our listeners under the age of 30, there was a time when you actually had to take a pen to paper and write out incomplete sentences.
I still do that, by the way. I'm still one of the literate few here. I don't know. If the other literate few, please call in. Let's talk about it. Because if you feel like you're kind of living your own world in a cave, then I know how you're feeling. What about for the times when you're five steps ahead? Okay, what about that? I had something happen the other day. And I know everybody listening can understand this, where you send out a message to somebody and you say, hey, I'm going to need this because I'm just going to need this. And they come back with like all these reasons why they don't need to do this. And you're thinking, you have no idea. Your perception of me is based on whatever knowledge. But the reason why I asked that is because of this, this, and this. I'm five steps ahead of you. And a lot of times people don't get it. They have no idea. They don't even look ahead at all. They're just right where it is. So it's really hard to deal with people that aren't at all five steps ahead when they're basically, they're barely hanging in there. They're on the same step as they are. It's hard to sit there and talk to them about what's going to be happening at MNOP when they're at A or B trying to figure it out. You know, and I think that's like a deep response too, because you have to think about how deep people think. But it's also like, think about this. Are you reading physics books, you know, and do you have everybody else reading the latest novel, the latest thriller novel, you know, where they're all like, ooh, this novel's really great. Oh, my gosh, did you see this? This is great. It's like the number 190th that this author has written, which is all the same type of thing. Nothing ever changes. There's always like the same murderer type and the same this and the same that. Nothing changes. But when you're trying to read quantum physics books and you got people telling you about this crap, I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, how deep can you be? You really can't be that deep, because if you're trying to talk about quantum physics to somebody, they're going to be like, whatever.
Which, admittedly speaking, I don't read quantum physics books, but, you know, taking your point, Ashley, I mean, Ashley reads quantum physics. I read, you know, nonfiction or kind of spy thriller type novels.
I think I did see you reading the dictionary the other day. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh, wait. That was from a movie I saw the other day. Never mind.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I was trying to memorize the A's, you know, so. But yeah.
You never know when you're going to need it. You might get in jail and forget everybody else's numbers and just call random people.
Oh, that's right. You said you were breaking a mental sweat.
Right.
That's what it was.
There you go. Oh, my Lord. A mental sweat.
He's in mid-season form, isn't he?
The muscles are flexing. Yes. The muscles are flexing.
Thunder and lightning.
Ooh. You
know, he shows up late, but the at least muscles, he brings his A game, you know?
The muscles from Brussels. I mean, the muscles from Texas. Yeah.
The muscles from the Park Cities. Or wherever you're from. But from anyway, yeah, your point is that is good, is that, like I said...
That I read quantum physics and you don't. That's the point.
Well, that's the one point. But the other one is that most people have the attention span of a flea. And
I don't even know if they have that. I mean, you're giving them something extra. I think the flea might have more attention because the flea wants to bite you. You know, at least the flea knows that it wants blood. I mean, it's got one track mind. You know, at least it's got one thing going for it. You know, most people don't even know what the heck to do.
Right.
I mean, do I get into the fire? Do I not get in the fire? Do I stand here? Do I listen to what he's got to say? I mean, you know, I'm completely lost. And then what about this? I know that a lot of people listening are either religious or spiritual in nature as well. So what about that? When you see like a bigger picture and you try to discuss that with others, you know how great that can feel, right? When you try to, let's say, for example, anybody listening tonight has had a come to Jesus conversation where they've run into God themselves.
Praise Jesus.
And they've had an actual experience and they try to explain it to other people and those other people go, huh? Yeah, I, and it almost makes you like, it almost makes the experience diminish a little bit because you're thinking, and because you're over there trying to explain yourself now, and it's like, if had you gone to the right person and told about your experience, you'd feel so much better than going to Yahoo over here, who thinks you're crazy now, thinks you're absolutely certifiably crazy. I feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Skinny.
Oh, I was going to say, I mean, there's been a few times, you know, sometimes you can nod and agree. Sometimes you can, you know, state your point. I mean, you're always going to run across the people that, you know, are non-believers. Maybe they believe in a different higher power or a different being, but, you know, you can still state your point.
Yeah, but I mean, how many people, you know, you try to do that and they're just like, you know, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you like, know? Oh, come on. I mean, I agree you'd state your point, but sometimes, yeah, they can kind of take you down where your experience, it goes from being this incredible experience to now I'm trying to backtrack, but now I'm also trying to say and prove that it really did happen.
Yeah.
And it takes away from it. Had you had told somebody though that had a similar experience or that was a believer or a feeler of that nature, it would be totally different. You wouldn't have to explain yourself at all. You would actually have the joy of sharing this with someone else. But however you shared it with somebody, like the guy at the table I was talking about earlier with the little kid that was begging, and he shares what he feels to the table next to him that weren't even paying attention. They have no idea that there was a girl begging for money. They have no idea that this girl was put up to begging for money by her family. They have no idea what's going on. The guy gets so angry. This other person's kind of laughing at him, thinking he's just a drunk. And it's a sad state of affairs because he talked to the wrong person. I mean, had he come and turn around to me, he'd be like preaching to the choir. I'd be like, I agree with you. I mean, I didn't have any money, felt bad about not giving money to the kid. But at the same point, I don't want to perpetuate these parents watching on, allowing their kids to beg for money. I think that's wrong. So when Perspectives returns, we're pulling it all together. We're finishing our exploration on authentic ways that you can minimize the miscommunication in your life and to start living successful and successfully with honest personal direction. So stay tuned because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes. I can lift you up. I can show you what you
want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I'm 5'3", 112 pounds, black hair, glasses, oval face.
Hey, welcome back to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been exploring how to put an end to common daily misunderstandings in your life by finding your peace and happiness from within, by also truly understanding your core self, and by making healthy and rational choices when it comes to the people you spend the most time with. Honestly, when you choose who you spend the most time with, and you choose based on your core self, it makes for a more healthy experience overall as well. So realizing that misunderstandings are brought on by ourselves, right? They're actually brought on by ourselves because it actually throws light on this issue that we don't want to take credit for it, or that we want to feel like the victim. Because honestly, every misunderstanding comes to us by our unwise choosing to tell another how we feel or what we see without looking at the situation and seeing it honestly for what it is. You can analyze a person before you say something and know if it's going to be understood or not. I mean, that's basic knowledge here. You've done it before where you thought you have no idea. You thought you've had no idea what you're talking about. Like, you tell somebody something and they have no idea what you're saying. They're completely confused. They may laugh. They may get angry. They may get irritated. Or they kind of just have a barrage of questions for you. So, like, for example, if I ask Bill or want to talk with Bill or I want to talk with Big Skinny about something, and they're like, what are you asking me this for? Like, they could ask, like, this barrage of questions, and it kind of gets you off target because you're wanting to share an observation or you're wanting to share how you feel about something. And then you kind of are upset that you even opened your mouth. I mean, you kind of wish you could take it back. I mean, I think we've all done that before where you ask somebody something and then all of a sudden they're like, well, what do you mean? I don't understand. When did that happen? Where were you? What was going on? Who was it? What was their name? Do you know? And you're just like, I don't know any of this. All I know is that I was walking by and this woman's screaming and this guy was running down the street with her handbag. I don't know what the lady's name is. I forgot the name of the street I was on, you know, and they're asking you, what time of the day was this? Was there cops around? Did you call the cops? What happened? You're like, I did call the cops, but and then you're like, this is pointless. I can't believe I even asked this. And then when you try to cut the conversation off, they're like, well, why are you being so rude? I mean, I thought we were having a conversation here. I don't understand what's going on. Why are you, and then all of a sudden you're just like, if I could just take back the last 3 minutes of my life, I would feel so much better. And then that person's like totally still confused. Like, I don't understand. Well, why did you bring this up? What all happened? What happened in the end? Did you ever see the lady again? Did she get her purse back? You're like, oh, man. You know, you're like, and you got to choose the people you spend the time with, too, because I think a lot of times we spend time with people, and they might be for a short period of time, which is one thing. But when you're spending large amounts of time with people, you want to pick clearly. You want to pick wisely. And I think this will aid you in lowering the amount of misunderstandings that you have with the people you spend time with, because you can choose them based on their depth. You can choose them based on their observation value. It's not like some sort of random meetup situation where you have no idea what's going to happen and half the people don't even speak English. I mean, you know, if you're going to pick a bunch of people that don't understand the language, good luck with all that. Have a good time. I mean, maybe you'll learn their language more. But if you're trying to be like conversating and having a conversation and talking about deep thoughts, you know, you might want to think of somebody, you might want to plan on being around people that can express themselves in the same manner. I mean, because you can't expect somebody that has no want or desire to be deep and no want or desire to observe anything to want to even be involved with your observations or even listen to your conversation. And I think eventually that can be painful, because if you got into a relationship with somebody, which a lot of people have, and I know a lot of people listening have probably gotten married to somebody or in a relationship where they can't even communicate with that person. Yeah. You know, and that happens a lot.
Relationships are hard enough, you know, without having a communication issue. But I'm thinking, Ashley, that you should try to surround yourself with like-minded people in regards to trying to have conversations with people. If you're one of those people that has like a short attention span, then don't go making friends with people who like long, deep conversations, and vice versa, unless you're trying to improve yourself.
Unless you want to go that direction. Yeah. If you're wanting to go that direction. And I think that's important to really think about, because like if we revisit that recent restaurant situation that I was talking about where the man in front of me got angry when the little girl was panhandling, you know, and he looked at the guy to the right of him and said, you know, what he thought, basically, I can't believe this little girl is being put into the situation where her parents are not even in the restaurant and they're sending her kid in. Their kid in to basically beg for money. And when he looked off to the guy and he was telling him how he felt, it was fine. It was all fine and dandy, but this guy had no idea what he was talking about. He had no idea what was going on. He didn't understand why this man was so angry. He couldn't understand what was going on, and the guy almost dropped his wine glass because he was like hitting the table with his fist going, I can't believe they put their kid through this.
And he's just losing it.
Yeah, and he's losing it, and this other guy thinks he's just like a crazy drunk. Like, this guy can't even, you know, he can't even handle his wine. I mean, and why is he, you know, punching the table? I mean, like, what's going on here? And in this situation, I mean, had you been that guy and you wanted to be crystal clear, he wanted the other person to understand him, but the other person didn't even get it. He had no idea what was happening. And I think at that point that, you know, at the guy laughing, you could consider that person being mean had he had actually crystal clearly known what this guy was talking about. But I don't think he had an idea what he was talking about. I think that he was like laughing because the guy had no idea. He was like, I don't know what this guy is saying to me, so I'm just going to laugh because I'm a little, I don't know what to say.
A little awkward, uncomfortable, whatever.
When he could have just said, hey, you know, random. I mean, what?
I said that would be random. Some guy comes up and talks about, I hate panhandlers in the restaurant. You look around and you don't see anything.
Well, yeah, but the kid came between all of us, and I heard it, and I know that guy heard it, and obviously, but I mean, the other person was just in their own world, you know? And sadly enough, he picked the wrong person to conversate with. I mean, if he would have picked somebody that actually saw what was happening, I mean, because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to pick it up. I wasn't on any focus medication to, like, see it on my own. I mean, I just saw it because it was part of reality, but you're right. I mean, sometimes you lean over and you say something to somebody, they have no idea. They're in a totally different world. He might have been turned the other direction at the time.
Right.
He could have been looking, there was a guy, you know, acting like he was Elvis that was, you know, singing Elvis music and stuff off to the other side. He could have been focusing on that guy. Or he could have been focusing on, you know, the other 10,000 people walking by that were at a hip-hop, you know, festival, a two-day festival. I mean, he could have been seeing anything else besides this little girl. And, I mean, she was tiny. She's like 5.5 years old, so he might not have even seen her at all. Yeah, and you're right. It could have been really weird when somebody's, like, pounding the table and angry and upset about something that you didn't even see. So I agree with you about the whole concept of like-mindedness. You have to be careful with that, though, because when you hang out with all like-minded people, sometimes you can be very narrow-minded.
Which is true, yes.
But at the same point in time, you might not all agree with the same things, but if you're like-minded in the sense that you're all observant, and you're like-minded in the sense that you're all pretty deep about things, about your own things, now that's cool.
Yeah, that's really what I was talking about, you know, just because narrowly focused on communication style, observation style.
That's cool. And then everybody brings something new to the table, and then everybody can kind of explain themselves. And when I talk about deep, I'm not talking about just people that just like to hear themselves talk. Because that's a totally different story. Because I think we've all had those people around where you just like you're at a dinner and that person's like monopolizing every second of the conversation about absolutely nothing, yes. You know, and you're like, okay, I remember back 20 years ago when you used to work there and then that happened and everybody gets to hear the story. And it's great because maybe these people really need to talk, you know, but then you kind of want to put them, let's see how talker A goes against talker B and if somebody can actually out-talk so-and-so. And I've actually wanted to do that. I think I'm going to do that soon, actually. It's going to be like a talk to the death, you know, who can be there the longest. No bathroom breaks, all coffee and water, no bathroom breaks.
My bet's on you, Ashley.
I'm not in this competition. I'm the judge, the jury. I'm the judge. I'm the jury. Goodness gracious. Anyway, so yeah, you want to align yourself with thoughtful people, right? You want to also, if you're deep, you want to be deep. And you want to be deep with other people. So if other people are deep and you're deep, that's great. If they're not and you want to be that way, well, then you're kind of screwed. So figure that out. So go in that same direction. And also, if you're an observer and you like to just observe things and you don't really care about telling other people about it, then you can hang out with as many people as you want to. It doesn't matter. But if you do like to discuss it with other people, then you need to find other people that want to discuss it with you.
I could agree with that. And back to Bill's comment on the like-minded, you might have somebody that you actually, you know, bond with, good communication. They like their long intellectual talks. You like your long walks on the beach.
That works. And that goes together. So you can walk and talk. I mean, unless the other person tells you to shut up because they've had enough of your talking and they just want to walk.
I'm sorry, Ashley, did you just say something?
Got her again.
Damn.
Wow. Okay. But think about this, too. Another little tidbit of information. Sometimes outside misunderstandings take place, right, because you assume that the other people heard and saw everything you did. You can't assume anything in this world. You know, you can't assume anything. And people have different... What is it? Perspectives, because they see things differently. So with that in mind, understand that everybody you meet will have a different perspective from yours. And if you want to explain, that's great. Otherwise, find people that like to listen to different perspectives. So stay tuned. We have a great show for you next week. We look forward to being with you in your house or in your car and being there with you on this night. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with me, your host, Ashley Burgess, will be back in three shakes.